Loving God, as we come into this time of hearing from your word, from scripture, my prayer for all of us is that whatever I say here might be secondary, Lord, to what you are saying to each of us, that the things that I have prepared might be a prompter for someone, or it might be not spark an idea, might stir something in someone's heart, so that whatever I say, Lord, may that just be a vehicle for you to do your work in this place today. Amen. If you have been around over the last few Sundays, you would have noticed that we've been on a journey together through looking at the spiritual gifts, not the spiritual gifts, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians chapter 5. And we've been exploring the way that these fruit of the Spirit work out in our lives. What do they do when we're engaged with the Spirit of God? What are the outworkings of these fruits like in our everyday life? One of the challenges we have about the fruit of the Spirit is we can often just reel them off like a list. I can't, so I wrote them down. But you can often reel them off like love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control, and kindness maybe. We can reel them off, can't we, these fruits of the Spirit, and they become just words, just things that we can just say, and we can sometimes not lean into what do these things actually mean for us. And we can sometimes find it challenging to sit with what are the implications of us living a life that is led by the Spirit. In Paul's letter to the church of Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, "Since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications and every detail of our lives." So Paul encourages this ancient community and us today as well to just not have the things of the Spirit as ideas in our heads or nice, warm, fuzzy feelings inside, but that these fruit, this outworking of the Spirit in our life, has implications for who we are and how we live. And so today we are going to head towards a conversation around the fruit of the Spirit, self-control. And we're going to be thinking about how do we cultivate self-control in a world that is out of control? How do we cultivate self-control in a world that is out of control? Because how are we, as the people of faith, to be ones who embody self-control in a context that sometimes embraces the opposite, in a context that sometimes encourages us to just do whatever we feel like, do whatever we want to do whatever we can do, and sometimes we don't put a lot of thought into the impact that our choices are making, not only on ourselves, but on our community at large. And so we are called, as the faith community, to be living out of self-control and to be mindful and thoughtful of how do we do this in the context that we find ourselves in. Now, our Bible reading for today actually isn't from Galatians 5. It's not actually from the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Instead, it's from Romans chapter 6. And I'm reading from the Message translation. And hopefully it'll come up on the screen for us as well. It's Romans 6, 15 to 19. And Paul says this to the church at Rome. "So, since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean that we can live in any old way we want? Since we are free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that actually destroy freedom. Offer yourselves to sin, for instance, and it will be your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall it, can't you? How at one time, the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom? Your lives healed and expansive in holiness. What a beautiful image of the life of faith found in the freedom of Christ and the freedom of God. Now, Paul says that even though the people of faith are free from what he calls the tyranny of sin, that we're not free to do whatever we want to do. And Paul says this in other contexts as well, that we still have a calling to live in the way of Christ and the way of God. And it's a little paradoxical that we live in freedom by living into the commands of God, isn't it? Sometimes we'd assume that freedom means, as Paul says, we can do whatever we want. But he says, no, to find the true freedom that we find in Christ, we live under the commands of God. And so, as we consider cultivating self-control in a world that's sometimes out of control, we have to face the reality of the number of conflicting messages that we receive each day. And when I was thinking about, you know, the world we find ourselves in, the culture we find ourselves in, I was curious about the different messages that we receive each day. And self-control isn't really something that gets talked about a lot in our culture. We hear a lot about convenience, a lot about ease, a lot about hacks to make our life more straightforward, messages about well-being and self-care, and about having stuff that's delivered on the same day delivery, all those sort of things. If anything, as an Australian culture, we're encouraged to do whatever we want and have whatever we want when we want it, which is right now or yesterday. It actually reminds me of an old episode of The Simpsons where the community has a Do What You Feel festival. Does anybody remember the Do What You Feel festival? Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Bonsall remembers that episode. It's this moment where the community of Springfield comes together and they can do whatever they want. They can dress the way they want. They can eat the type of food they want. Sometimes they can do things they hadn't done before. So some people are skateboarding because they never have done that sort of thing before. And it seems like this great idea where everyone just does whatever you feel like. Now, of course, because the Simpsons world is so well written, we know that when everyone does whatever they feel like, there are some unintended consequences. There's a very large brass band playing a great song, and the whole bandstand falls apart. And when they work out, well, why did it fall apart? It was because, well, they didn't bolt the stage together correctly. And when they ask the tradie who built it, he goes, well, I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't feel like bolting it correctly. At the car parking attendants just saying, just park where you want to park. I'm not laying any rules, just park anywhere, it's all fine. And of course, there are cars just everywhere. No order, it's just chaos. So people can't get their cars out. Everyone's trapped in the car park. And finally, the Ferris wheel starts sparking and sending flames off into the air, and eventually it rolls out onto the street. Because they didn't bother to oil the joints of the Ferris wheel because I didn't feel like doing it. The unintended consequences of doing whatever we feel like. No one in that community was thinking about the unintended consequences of how the things that I do have a real impact on other people. And then with this context of today, we're thinking about self-control. Like the things that we do, the things we choose to do, have an impact upon the people around us. As Paul said, we can do what we feel, but we're actually not called to live out that way as the people of faith. The path we are called to is one that is different from the context that we find ourselves in. So while we live in different, swimming in different worlds that tell us we can do whatever we want, whenever we want to do them, our faith community, our faith context says, well, actually, we're being called to a different way, paying different attention to who we are as God's people. And Paul says this in Romans 6, verse 15. He says, so since we are out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we do what we want? Since we are free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Well, hardly. you know well enough from your own experience there are some acts of so-called freedom that actually destroy freedom. And I think we might experience some of that today. Some of the space we find ourselves in might look like freedom, but it's actually destroying of our freedom in Christ. Because we, as the people of faith, are free. We're called to be the free people. The brokenness, the sin that once enslaved us doesn't rule over us any longer. We are ruled by the benevolent, love, grace-filled life of Christ. And so we are called to live into a freedom that does not destroy freedom. And so how are we to do this? How are we to live into a world that we find ourselves in that tells us to live life quite different to the life that God is calling us to? How are we to live into the freedom of Christ? Because just as Paul says, we are free, but we're not free to do whatever we want to do. We are free to paradoxically fall under the obedience of following God, and that is where we find true freedom. And in Romans 6 today, Paul offers just a couple of insights about how we might live into this freedom. Firstly, it says that we need to offer ourselves to the way of God. That's Romans 6:8. And secondly, we need to live into God's freedom, which is in Romans 6:19. So for us to just find ourselves in this place of freedom, Paul would say that we need to offer ourselves to the way of God and to live into God's freedom. So an offering of self and then a living into. So Romans 6:18 says, it's about offering ourselves to living into God. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do. But thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands will set you free to live openly in his freedom. So ironically, releasing the control we have over our lives and offering ourselves to the ways of God is how we can begin to take steps to live into the freedom that God offers us. Now, if we have control of the wheel of our lives and if we're directing the way we're going, we can easily get caught off onto different sidetracks and side roads, can't we? And we can start living into, well, I'm entitled to this. I can do whatever I want to do. I can live how I want to live. We're being called by Paul in this moment from Romans 6 to offer ourselves to the way of God. We're invited as the people of faith to live in a way that is under the direction of God through Jesus. And when we live into the way of God, we live into a life that is characterized by seeking the well-being of others above ourselves. Jesus talked it in this way. He said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. For me, possibly the easiest thing to say and the most hardest thing to embody and live out. We're also called to be reliant upon God for the provision of our daily needs and stuff. We're told so often that we can do it ourselves and we can build ourselves up and we can make our own way in the world. But we are encouraged as the people of faith to put our trust and hope that God can provide what we need for us. Again, when Jesus was talking to the crowds in the Sermon on the Mount, He prayed the Lord's Prayer, and that says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day what will sustain us and keep us on the go. Give us each and every day the things that will sustain us. That is a tremendous act of faith. And we're called as well, if we're living the way of God, to pursue God's upside-down kingdom first, and then everything else will fall into place. Jesus, again, in the Sermon on the Mount, says, therefore, do not worry about what you'll eat or drink or wear. God knows that you need this stuff, but strive first for God's kingdom, and all these things will be added as well. Get the priorities right in our lives. Seek after God and the way of Christ first, and all the other stuff will sort itself out. And finally, Paul encourages to offer ourselves the way of God is to prayerfully orientate our lives around the wisdom of God. Paul says to Romans in chapter 6, verse 18, thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free. Romans 6:18. Thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free. To listen to a new master is to listen to God, and the way that we can listen to God is by being a people who pray. So we can see that when we choose to live into God's freedom in Christ, that we are living a life of intent, of purpose, and freedom. We're free of what our culture says that we should do and live and be. We have a different orientation in our life. We are free to live into love and grace of Christ rather than the expectations of the culture we find ourselves in. So secondly, Paul says that we offer ourselves to the way of God. And secondly, he says that we need to live into God's freedom. So we offer ourselves, but then we live into God's freedom, from Romans 6:19. How much different is it now you live in God's freedom? Your lives healed and expansive in holiness. What a beautiful phrase. How different is it now that you live in God's freedom? Your lives healed and expansive in holiness. Because living in God's freedom gives us a life that is different. Gives us a life that is this other than what our world asks of us. Living in God's freedom acknowledges that we are the sons and daughters of God. That we belong to God. We orientate our worth and well-being around that statement, around those experiences, that we are children of the living God, that we belong to God, and God tells us something about the bigger story where we find ourselves located as the people of faith. Biblical scholar Luke Timothy Johnson says that Christianity isn't an ethical system that tells you what you're supposed to do all the time. Instead, it tells you who you are. Christianity isn't an ethical system that tells you what you're supposed to do all the time. Instead, it tells you who you are. It tells you who you belong to, that you belong to God in Christ. You see, we do get confused about who we are, don't we? We get uncertain at times about our value and our place in the world we find ourselves in. We can at times be lost and struggle to find our way. We sometimes use our freedom to do whatever we want to do. We live into our own sense of who we are, what we can achieve, our own intelligence and whatnot. And we forget that the freedom that God offers us is a freedom to live into a bigger story of love, grace, and forgiveness. A bigger story of who we are and who we are called to be. Do you guys remember the film Toy Story? Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going to watch a clip from Toy Story 2, and we're going to get a glimpse of a character who has forgotten who he belongs to. He's forgotten who he belongs to. So Woody, he's the main character in the Toy Story films. Woody finds out that he is a rare collectible toy, and he's part of a special set of toys. And he actually gets stolen by this cheeky guy who pinches him from a garage sale and wants to sell Woody to a Japanese museum. And Woody's quite excited about this. He feels really special that he's going to go, he's part of a special set of toys, and he's going to go and be on display, and all these people are going to see him. Well, the rest of the toys from Andy's toy box are on a mission to go and save Woody, because Woody's part of their crew. He shouldn't be off in a museum, he should be back in the toy box being played with by Andy, his owner. So we're going to watch now what happens when the toys finally catch up to Woody. So thanks, Raj. See, Woody had been misled to believe that he was special and significant because he was this rare collector's toy. But he'd forgotten who he belonged to. He'd forgotten that Andy, the little boy, was his owner, was the one who loved him and cared for him and played with him, did all the things that toys should do. And Woody believed that he was special because he was worth a lot of money now. He was rare, he was collectible. and he'd forgotten who he belonged to. For us, we too need to be reminded whose we are and who we belong to. And when we find ourselves living into the way of God through Christ, as Paul talks about in Romans 6, we are reminded about who we belong to. And we discover the fruit of self-control, not because we feel compelled to, but because of who we belong to and who we are. We are not defined by the stuff we have, the electronic toys that we might own, the size of our bank balance, the size of our portfolios. We are defined by the loving grace extended to us through Jesus. We belong to God, and we are called to be the people who live holy and healed lives, transformed in his image. So my friends, may you offer yourselves to the way of God, trusting that releasing your control will lead to your freedom. May you live into God's freedom, recognizing that the ways of God are a freedom that never quits. And may you cultivate self-control by living into a story of life that says you are beloved of God and that God desires healing and wholeness for you. Amen.